Hungering for something new this summer? HelloFresh has got your back with pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow directions. Your new favorite meal can be prepared in under 30 minutes. Get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping, when you use code FOOTBALLERS14 at HelloFresh.com/FOOTBALLERS14.
Let me throw some words out there, Mike and Jason. Let me throw these
words. Hit me with some words.
Bitcoin.
Okay.
Cryptocurrency.
Okay.
NFTs.
All right.
I'm in.
Investing.
I'm confused and I'm scared.
Investing is an ever-changing landscape, gentlemen, and the Modern Finance Podcast, hosted by Kevin Rose, is a great place to listen about the latest trends in crypto and brush up on fundamentals. Look, it's not for everybody, crypto that is, until you listen to Modern Finance, because they are a crypto show for the novice and expert alike, and their mission is to demystify crypto without dumbing it down. True Ventures partner Kevin Rose interviews top tech experts and entrepreneurs exploring modern finance tools and helping others understand crypto, NFTs, and even traditional finance hacks. The financial landscape is harder than ever to navigate, but you don't have to do it alone. Download and subscribe to Modern Finance wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Modern Finance wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't be the last person on the next train out, Mike. Listen to Modern Finance.
I won't be anymore.
And get ahead of the future of finance.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Monday, September 13th. Welcome into the glass cage of emotion. That is week one fantasy football reactions. Jason Moore, Mike Wright. I'm Andy Holloway, the Fantasy Footballers. We're holding your hand. We're here to give you a moment of silence if it went poorly.
I'm still tilted.
I know. I know.
Arms are wide open, guys, and
ooh, like Scott Stapp,
and the embrace, and this is one of those 3 second hugs. Okay, but no matter what, it went well. Bring it in.
Yeah,
you had a hard time. Bring it in, and this is a 3 second hug. This ooh. Is one of those where we're gonna hold.
That's for real.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi. We're gonna breathe. Three Mississippi, and let's get back to work.
I was watching the game last night, and. It was an enjoyable game. It was interesting, but I'm a little bit off. And my wife's like, "What is wrong? Are you?" I'm like, "Yeah, my fantasy team."
Yeah, and we're back.
Freaking Tyreek Hill, man!
I've got some reassuring news for everybody out there. At this point last year, we were 6.25% of the way through the season. And this year, we're only 5.88%.
Ooh.
I like those numbers.
Nice.
Because we got an extra game.
Honestly, it is so hard to manage expectations of a weekly game.
Yes.
Over the course of a season in week one. And that's what we're going to do today. There are things we learned that are, I think, prescriptive. Things that we are afraid of that I don't think we need to be. And, you know, we're going to get into all of that. But the emotions and the reactions of week one are insane. If what happened this week identically happened in week seven, it's totally different. Because this confirms all the talk. This confirms or denies mm-hmm. all of the thoughts and expectations. The problem with that is it's just 1 week.
Yeah,
this
it doesn't actually.
The season.
No, I have some numbers. There's a really if you want the numbers for week one, if you want the come down off of that reaction, all of the emotions, go read the article on our website by Matt DeSorbo. He plots out the week one performances over the last few years, the breakout performances and the inverse. We're going to get into some of those names today. We're going to go through studs and duds. We're going to go through the pooped in their big boy pants. We got Monday Punday momentarily, of course. I mean, that would be, that's always an appropriate reaction to the weekend. But when you look at the real numbers, you'll understand what Jason is saying. because if somebody has a down game or gets injured in week six, it's just week six. But week one, the authority on whether something is official, which is Twitter, has confirmed that week one is the most important week. And you need us to walk you through this. We need you to walk us through this. And
I'm hurting.
We'll
I'm hurting
survive.
Over here.
By the way, one of the numbers I'll throw out at the very top, because we'll get into some of the studs and duds. But with the breakout week one performances, just 13% of those historically end up being a top 12 running back, wide receiver, or tight end. Just 39% end up being a top 24 wide receiver, running back, or tight end for the rest of the year. So the odds are not in your favor that it's prescriptive. And these are for players that are drafted at low ADP. So the
right.
break, you know, the Christian Kirks like week one are those type of players.
Right.
Very rarely is that prescriptive, and we're going to help you through it. But let's get sophisticated.
Oh, yes.
Let's get sophisticated.
Yes. Let's go to San Francisco, shall we? How about Brandon Ayuk?
Or Brandon Ayuk.
More appropriate.
Or maybe we go to Debo Manuel.
Oh, now you're a man.
Or
Debo Super Samuel.
You said it incorrectly.
Fix me, you are uncultured.
We are very sophisticated. Debo Super Samuel.
Raheem Most Hurt.
Oh, moo.
Went from must start to most hurt.
Let's go to Green Bay, shall we? The Green Bay Slackers.
Or the Aaron Frodgers.
Discount double choke?
That's one of my favorite I've ever seen. The discount double choke.
Oh, how about Detroit Hawk City?
I like that. Or Super Cup.
Mike Goose Icky.
Kyler McFlurry.
Whee! Gronkowski.
Ryan Hips Tragic.
Oh, no, not the hip.
I don't like that one.
And then we do have some repeat classics that we'll get into, like Julio Jones.
Classic.
Ezekiel Smelliot.
And Clyde Meh Edwards Hilaire.
Or Devontae Saddams.
And, of course, Jameis Winston.
What a performance.
By us? In that
Yes, exactly.
Jason, it was a super awesome Dragon Ball Z reference.
You got to hop in. You think I watched that show?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
Dragon Ball Z, not for nerds.
I don't blame Jason, because the pun made more sense the way he said it with his last name. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But did you guys see Debo Samuel this weekend? Did you see him?
Now you're a man.
Yeah.
A man.
Yeah, we saw him.
Very prescriptive. He's the only prescriptive one.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions saw his backside a lot.
Oh, goodness. Yes, they did. Twitter at the FF Ballers. Listen, I want to invite you right now. Go to jointhefoot.com. You will get an extra episode of the show. You will be a part of the largest, most spectacular fantasy football community on planet Earth. The Foot Clan is mighty and strong and incredibly awesome, and you can join that community at jointhefoot.com and get a bunch of premium tools for in-season, our consistency charts, our stream finder, and a whole lot more. That is our community for the in-season. The ultimate draft kit was February through September. Now you head to jointhefoot.com and get on board for the next 17 weeks.
Ooh.
TheFantasyFootballers.com for all the articles, and let's talk news.
And notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Man, stuff to talk about. Let's start in San Francisco here, because you had a couple bits of news. One was the surprise inactive of Trey Sermon on game day, which was
it was surprising.
It was crazy. And I know we have a lot to talk about with San Francisco in general. And maybe Mike, you deserve, or Kyle Shanahan deserves, the magic card tricks, because it's getting to the point now where either the beat writers in San Francisco are checking Twitter the same way we are and not glued into what's happening at camp, or you have a magician in Kyle Shanahan taking lessons from Matt Nagy.
I think you might have both.
So you had two things happen here. One was Trey Sermon's surprise inactive, which, look, if people want to, and they were on Twitter, all over me over Raheem Mostert getting hurt predictably, right? 2 for 20, then he's injured.
Ooh. 10 yards per carry.
Here's the thing. Kyle Shanahan didn't see that coming because he would have had Trey Sermon active.
Yes.
On game day. Instead, you have a couple of running backs, Elijah Mitchell and Jamichael Hasty, who are big-time special teams contributors, not something that Trey Sermon does. And so Raheem Mostert goes down, knee injury, apparently, according to the beat writers that I checked in on. So, wink, wink. He'd been dealing with a knee injury on and off during camp, and this was a re-aggravation. They're not concerned about ACL, but you should be concerned because Raheem Mostert is a walking injury factory lately. I mean, we're moments removed from him saying, check out my muscles, and then he goes down in two plays. But Trey Sermon's inactivity, what that means for fantasy. And then the other one is Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk played behind Trent Sherfield, didn't play much.
Right.
And everything we knew about camp, which was Trey Sermon locked in the second running back role and Brandon Ayuk is poised to return to glory after last year. What do we do?
Yeah, I mean, the beat reporters that I follow, I need to unfollow. but I agree with you. I wonder if it's them being bad at their jobs, which you were, or if just Kyle Shanahan makes it really hard to do your job. But we're going to talk about Elijah Mitchell tomorrow on the waivers.
Certainly.
when it comes to what do you do, how much do you go in, how much is this prescriptive, Trey Sermon now, all of the questions regarding that. With regards to Ayuk, at least that was combined. Kyle Shanahan came out and said it was combined with the fact that he missed 10 days with a hamstring injury. But he was active in the game. They didn't just take him out and rest him completely. So it was very, very disappointing. And, I think, where do you go from here with Brandon Ayuk? Do you have to, at this point, you have to bench him until he is more involved and past the hamstring?
Yes. And that can be even piggybacked on the data that we got this weekend about people coming back off of hamstring injuries in general, whether that was Austin Eckler returning, who did fall into the end zone, but the workload was diminished, where you saw more of Roundtree and Justin Jackson. The hamstring injury, if you had just played Debo last year when he dealt with one, you would have regretted it because there was re-injury and some issues. You need to let him prove it at this point. And I think the lesson from Shanahan has been, I'm not going to give a young player carte blanche. I mean, I think that's what it is. 10 days off, well, there's 10 days that those other guys were doing work, and Trent Sherfield showed out in preseason. I will give him that.
Yes.
He wasn't going to give him the job, and he wasn't going to give it to Trey Sermon if those other guys were out working him. So, I don't know what the age is when they say, okay, I trust you to be a grown man. I don't know what that age is in football, but it was bewildering. It was a disappointment for anybody that played Brandon Ayuk with optimism. And I agree with you. I think it's benched till further notice. Mike, do you have any thoughts?
I do not disagree. It's just, I don't want to, just completely throw the dumpster all over the beat reporters. But, now you have reports like, well, he started off hot in training camp, but it tailed off at the end. Where was that report? Why wasn't that all over Twitter?
So much easier to give those reports after something's happened, right?
Still learning to be a pro. Okay.
Well, it's crazy because he was a pro for the 17.8 fantasy points per game he averaged over the last eight games last year.
So bizarre.
But, when you walk into a locker room and this guy's healthy, a professional looks a little different.
Yeah.
I am going to embrace Debo while he's healthy.
You should.
That was a heck of a game. Zach Moss was a surprise inactive. Another one in Buffalo where, what? I mean, he's healthy. All reports are that he's completely healthy and he was not active on game.
And I was reading some more reports of the team felt that Matt Breida was just the better player.
But none of them matter.
I will say this, at least with this one, you saw the change in preseason where Devin Singletary became the kind of 1A and B. Like it was not a split workload. When Moss and Singletary were both active, ready to go in preseason, the starters were out there. Zach Moss wasn't. And so at least there was an inkling of this. I know in my drafts, I completely was on the Devin Singletary side because of what we saw in preseason. I don't know that the beat reporters talked about it, but, I mean, Zach
Moss
Well,
we said to stay away from the backfield. So
yes.
Hopefully that advice was heeded or you got, you know, the cost was so low that it made no difference and you certainly weren't playing them this week, right, against Pittsburgh.
Correct. No, you should not have played either of them against Pittsburgh. But going forward, I do think that Devin Singletary could be interesting if it's a one running back system there.
Yeah, and he can catch the football. So makes it easier to put up some at least pedestrian numbers. This was unfortunate. Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy carted off the field.
He looks so good, too.
He did. He was by far the leading receiver. I think 6 targets, 6 catches. This is a long-term injury, a high ankle sprain. We thought maybe the ankle was broken. X-rays were negative. This is a 6 to 8 week injury minimum for Jerry Jeudy. And you're looking at players that are, you know, he depends on his explosiveness and his yards after the catch, and you take away his wheel, one of them. He's got a bum wheel. It's going to be, I mean, throw him on the IR if you got a spot. Otherwise, I'd probably drop him and move on versus hold him to the end of the year to maybe get upside when you have so many other pass catchers there.
Yes, if you don't have an IR spot on your fantasy roster, you have to drop him. I expect him to even be placed on the actual Denver
IR.
Broncos
yeah,
IR.
Yeah.
So if you don't have this spot, I would have to move on. And we'll talk about the options behind him, but Tim Patrick's
very interesting.
Noah Fant as well.
And Sutton will get... You imagine he was kind of getting worked in a little bit, getting more comfortable. Not a lot of targets yesterday.
Man, that stinks. He looked so...
he did.
That was the most just emotional reaction
Yes, one just is like so upsetting because it's that second year breakout wide receiver. Everything lining up for him looks amazing. It's like, Jerry Jeudy, let's go. And then, honestly, when it happened, we were worried about like a dislocated, horrific injury. So... at least it's not full season.
Your reaction was the way I was with Raheem Mostert because the news about Trey Sermon comes out. The player prop on Mostert goes from like 58 rushing yards to 100. It's Detroit who, you know, Elijah Mitchell goes out and destroys, and I've got Mostert everywhere. And then you don't – not getting to see what you hoped you had a chance to see is just so disappointing, but it's football and we don't control any of it. So – Fitzpatrick, that would be Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitztragic. Hip subluxation, which sounds
well said.
Not hip.
No.
MRI today. Matthew Betts, our injury expert, who, by the way, dropped our first Injury Blitz podcast, which is another one of the perks over at jointhefoot.com, basically said the mechanism of injury was similar to what Tua had in Alabama, but less severe. He expects Fitz to be on IR. He's going to miss this week's game against the Giants, no question. And you're looking at a reconfiguration of your expectations in Washington unless you have a confidence I don't have in Tyler Heinicke and other options.
No, this is a clear downgrade for Terry McLaurin. I still think Terry will be
fine,
okay, but the true breakout potential is – the upside is hurt a little bit by having a backup quarterback. And then, you know, when it comes to Antonio Gibson, I think he's probably going to be fine. The team seems like they are going to rely on him. And
he was a full workhorse.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to the eye test of week one and just, you know, sometimes those things are more important in week one because you just see, you know, what is true regardless of the stats. And you go, ooh, he looked strong and fast and good.
Yeah, there were only a handful of running backs that looked the part in week one, in my opinion, right? You had some of the stalwarts had horrible games, and we'll talk about them. Mm-hmm. But Gibson was one that...
He looked great.
Absolutely looked the part. Zach Ertz, hamstring strain.
Okay.
So Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
You know, could get more work. And the team looked pretty good. Mind you, it was Atlanta. But, you know, Goedert was a sneeze away from a touchdown in this one. Tyrell Williams, helmet-to-helmet hit, left in the third quarter. You also had Rashad Penny leave with a calf injury.
Oh, and then, Goddard had a touchdown.
Did he have a touchdown?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, he was sneeze
great.
Away from a second.
He was 4 for 42 with a touchdown.
Because I remember seeing him kind of fight to try to get one and got out of bounds. Josh Jacobs, this is news for Monday Night Football.
Yes.
Downgraded to questionable with an illness. but had been cleared for the toe injury. So got sick. I bet he plays.
Yeah, he probably plays.
And I, if you didn't see this news, you probably need him to play because picking up somebody else in this game is going to be difficult. Kenyon Drake was drafted in almost all formats. Tyson Williams, we've been through the waiver wire with him.
You might be able to get Latavius Murray.
There's a chance. And then, you know, depth-wise in Las Vegas, who gets work outside of Kenyon Drake?
Peyton Barber?
Probably.
Woof.
So let's just hope he plays. And it's good that it's not the toe. So
it's, yeah, it's at least it's questionable. But, yeah, if you're depending on Josh Jacobs, you better be on that news.
All right, so that was today's news and notes brought to you by Sleeper, which was very clutch throughout Sunday. If you noticed, they were quick with the breaking news alerts. So just download the app, install it. It's free. And then subscribe to the breaking alerts section, and you'll get the news before everybody else.
And before we get to the stud muffins, want to thank DraftKings. Look, it was good to see the teams back out there on the gridiron.
Indeed. Oh.
And lucky for us, that was just week one. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, is putting you in the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up using the code BALLERS. So get in on the action now. It's simple. You just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against competition. On Fridays, we're making our own lineups. Yeah. You can see how it's done.
Mm. We'll see how those teams stacked up.
Mine dominated. Look, download the DraftKings app now. Use the code BALLERS. This week, new customers get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with the code BALLERS for the free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That is code BALLERS only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
And we would like to thank IPVanish for sponsoring today's show. IPVanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short. In a VPN, it's incredibly important because it is a tool that protects you as you browse the internet. On your computers, tablets, phones, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media, you need a VPN to encrypt your data. Because when you're reading and you're searching, if it's not, people can see what you are doing. And for listeners of the show, IPVanish is offering an incredible 65% off their annual plan, equal to 6 months for free. We are telling you, you need to protect your data. You're out there at the coffee shop on that free Wi-Fi. Anyone who wants to know your business, they can know your business. So protect yourself. Go to ipvanish.com/footballers. Claim your 65% savings. Their annual plan is just $44.99 for the first year with our exclusive discount. This is the time to sign up. With our discount and their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual. IPVanish is the best of the best, rated a 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that's with more than 6,000 reviews. Remember, ipvanish.com/footballers to get the deal and start protecting yourself online.
This week's Fantasy Stud Muffins.
I love muffins.
You know what stuck out to me when you guys were doing the ad read was, you know, getting out on the gridiron, and I'm trying to mentally think about where that phrase would have come from, like gridiron.
Okay.
And the best I've got is like a grill has got this grid on it. And like the field's got the lines that look like a grid.
That part makes sense. But the iron, I don't know.
I just don't know where it came from.
I think it's because football started in the prison system. And so you're behind bars.
Like longest yard.
That's right. And a
lot of people, easy being
that
cheesy.
That was a documentary?
A lot of people don't know that, but that's where gridiron comes from because it's like the grid, but they're all behind iron. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. They lost.
Okay. Well, look, let's get into the studs, and we're going to try to sift through these performances. Are they a flash in the pan? Look, a couple of the studs from last year, week one. Let's remind you. Let's set the context. Mitch Trubisky had a nice 30-point opening week. He was benched 2 weeks later. Nyheim Hines was the running back 5. You remember that madness in week one?
Waiver wire extraordinaire, biggest pickup of week one, and then he gets one target, no carries in week two.
Yeah, and Jonathan Taylor, managers were concerned. So there's an implication for more players. Robbie Anderson was the wide receiver 5 last year. He only finished inside the top 20 one more time the rest of the season.
We may not forget about Sammy Watkins. May week one superstar always be in our hearts. He's cold-blooded. He's the Lizard King.
Yeah, he is. Although I can't find the drop no matter what I do. That one is, that's still to come. Yeah, we get tonight. The Lizard King tonight. All right, quarterback studs. Week one, Kyler Murray, sweet mercy. He was electric. 21 for 32, 289 and 4, another on the ground. I mean, you didn't need that performance to know you start Kyler in fantasy, but you got Minnesota at home and Jacksonville the next 2 weeks.
Brother.
Oh, I mean, Joe Burrow carved up Minnesota, yeah. And Kyler has got weapons.
Yes,
all
he does.
Over the field. Huge game for Christian Kirk, obviously, and Rondale Moore is going to give him some free points through the year as well. Mahomes, yeah, he's a stud. It didn't matter that he had no touchdowns for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it really, you watch the game and he had the rushing touchdown, but he had done very little in the first half. Cleveland's controlling the game. No other passing touchdowns. And you're like, well, you know, we'll have a disappointing game. Nope, he's bad Mahomes. He's good.
Jameis Winston had one of the most peculiar games ever. I believe it's the lowest yardage for a 5-touchdown game since 1948.
That is correct.
148 yards passing on 14 completions. 5 of the 14 completions were touchdowns.
The man can see.
Yeah, I mean.
The man can see.
Well, then why can't he throw for more than 150 yards?
Because he didn't need to. He just can't. Because he's throwing touchdowns, Jason. What do you want him to do?
This is one of the most obvious non-prescriptive performances of the week. Because he threw no interceptions. He threw for 148 yards.
He did throw an egregious, awful interception that got called back on a egregious, awful penalty call.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, that was ridiculous.
But I think Winston's going to be fine.
I would agree.
But this team was absolutely dominant on the defensive side. They've got a great rushing game. And I think Winston is somebody that you are going to need. You can't lean on yardage for Winston this year because the team isn't Bruce Arians' Tampa Bay Buccaneers. With, I mean, 20 pass attempts. What's the last time Jameis Winston started a game and had 20 pass attempts?
Oh, I'm sure it's happened lots of times, but he didn't finish that game.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But, yeah, I mean, this is he's got a great matchup next week at Carolina, so maybe he's in that conversation of, you know, he obviously can score touchdowns, and Alvin Kamara can get tap passes for touchdowns for days. But, yes, he is not going to be a top, you know, what was he, like the quarterback 3 this week?
Russell Wilson.
He's good.
18 for 23, 254 and 4. Indianapolis is not a slouch defense. They were on the road, and he torched them and made a couple of ridiculous throws, dropped it in the bucket for Tyler Lockett. He looked great. New offensive coordinator situation was great. So, feeling good?
So far.
Jalen Hurts, 27 for 35.
This one felt good.
7 for 62 on the ground. Jason started the week. 264 and 3 through the air. I think we all kind of came away saying, look, solid performance from Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to see a little bit of Devonta Smith flashing. You saw Goddard. You saw Jalen Reagor make a play. You saw Kenneth Gainwell and Quez Watkins.
Yeah, Kenneth Gainwell was very surprising that he was the two.
Boston Scott was not involved at all.
Yeah, it was all Kenneth Gainwell. As the change of pace back from Miles Sanders, and I'm assuming Devontae Smith made the wide receiver list, but just in case he didn't, he's that dude. Like, he was the guy out there for everything. Jalen Reagor is kind of the number two wide receiver who he came through with a touchdown, but Devontae Smith has immediately established himself as it. You were projecting it, but you can't always just say like, oh, the first round rookie is going to be the man.
Yeah,
he's the man.
I think behind him, it's actually murky. I think it's Reagor, it's Watkins, it's the tight ends. But I wouldn't put one in any order than the other.
Yeah, I agree. What will be interesting is that obviously he did this against Atlanta, and
sure.
Atlanta just
looked
not
so
good.
Bad.
So next week against San Francisco, we'll see because they're obviously a better defense. How much better?
Yeah.
I don't know because Jared Goff. I don't know if you know this, but in standard scoring, you know, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, they had these great monstrous weeks. They were outscored by Jared Goff.
I mean, you guys saw. I mean, it was a devastating injury to Jason Verrett. ACL tear.
Yes.
Backbone of the secondary. And all of a sudden, now you're talking about Richard Sherman going back there. Now you're talking about, you know, them finding another solution. And they didn't you know, once they lost Verrett, they kind of fell apart.
Yes.
And I think Jalen Hurts is going to have no problem putting up fantasy points. Tom Brady attempted 2.5 times more passes than Jameis Winston and put up a monster week. Dak, we saw it. Great week from Dak. Very impressive. If we didn't already say so, he's healthy. And then, you know, Matthew Stafford was 20 for 26. I expect this offense to be super efficient because they just know how to set him up for it's a lot like San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, the designed pass plays are so well planned and executed that efficiency matters and touchdowns are going to matter for Stafford.
And do not let the small passing attempts number fool you. This is a team that was passing nonstop. They did not run the ball early until they were basically in that, you know, in a neutral game script, they were only passing the ball.
Right.
They went three and out a couple times, or it was a deep bomb that just finishes the drive. You don't get more pass attempts. And then they were up. So I am really looking forward to seeing what Matthew Stafford can do. And I mean, you know, they talked about it ad nauseum on the broadcast, but it does seem like his best friend is Cooper Kupp. And, you know, if I could
they get in 2 hours before practice and they right. have breakfast together.
If I could go back in time, based on week one knowledge, I would certainly move Kupp way up. I think he's going to be, I think this game was a little bit more prescriptive than just a week one outlier.
You want a wide receiver that has breakfast with the quarterback. I mean, we've said it for years. Scrambled
That's
eggs
the
together.
The narrative I chase.
Yeah. I love breakfast, you know,
bros.
And so I want a wide receiver that is with me on that.
Imagine what the show would be like if we shared breakfast.
Oh, we should do that.
Yeah.
But then we'd have to get up earlier.
If you bought breakfast, I would definitely share it with you.
Okay.
Running backs.
Oh, hey, he's back.
Christian McCaffrey. You know, let me ask you a question about this game, because Christian McCaffrey, it's not a surprise. He's amazing.
So,
it's nice to see.
So good.
9 for 89. Also had 21 carries, 98 yards on the ground. Had 25 fantasy points, didn't score, which is something that is incredible for a player on your roster.
Did you see my tweet from last night?
I did not.
So I was curious, because he's the number one running back on the week. I expect him to stay there after tonight's games.
He is?
And I went back over the last 32 games before I got bored the last couple of years to see if anyone had ever been the running back one without a touchdown, and it had only happened one other time. And
did he end up number one?
Yeah, and that was Christian McCaffrey who did it then. I mean, if you can be the number one running back without scoring a touchdown, you're unstoppable.
And then the weeks when he scores, he wins you the week.
Yes.
Let me bring forward something from this game, because both of these players fit into the studs category. And one thing I would be doing, and you can correct me, I'm concerned about Robbie Anderson.
100,000%.
9 targets, 89 yards for Christian McCaffrey. 1 catch for Robbie Anderson. Now, it was a 57-yard touchdown.
Saved his week.
But you know what? That's what he did in New York. He had the one big play with Sam Darnold in New York. Last year, he was their Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
He was their PPR short yardage solution. McCaffrey took all of it. So if it were me with Robbie Anderson, I would be shopping that 1 for 57 and a touchdown. Do you agree?
Yeah, we're trying to say it's week one, let's not overreact, but it's hard to not overreact to the talk through the offseason is when Christian McCaffrey is back, it's going to affect somebody because he's going to come in and he's going to see a bunch of targets. What is that going to be? Because last year it was DJ Moore had morphed into the deep threat and Robbie Anderson was getting all the underneath stuff. Well, now DJ Moore is still running some deep stuff, but he's the number one wide receiver on this team, as he should be. But Robbie Anderson dropping to 3 targets is terrifying.
I am the resident Robbie Anderson truther here.
Yes.
I've been, I have him in tons of leagues because where he was going in drafts, I felt like he was undervalued. I still feel that way, that he will outperform where he was drafted. But I'm with you guys 100%. This game was perfect for you to be able to trade him. You know what I mean? Like, he had 3 targets. Terrace Marshall had 6 targets. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is the number one receiver for this team.
153 target pace after 1 week
but
for McCaffrey.
He ended up with a good fantasy game, and plenty of managers did not watch, do not look deep enough to realize that the target volume and the reception volume. He had a good fantasy week. You can capitalize on that and trade him. And that's not to say you need to trade him. He's going to be worthless. You can't start Robbie Anderson.
Agreed.
He will have decent games, but he's not going to be the volume guy that, that we hoped is how it looks to play out.
And the volume saves you from wrecking your week. Yeah. Here is one of the few running backs that looked 100% like a workhorse, Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
33 touches. Forced eight missed tackles. That was the most of any running back in week one. 29 carries. Outstanding performance from Joe Mixon. And pretty impressive for the Bengals altogether on the offense with Joe Burrow coming back from injury.
Yep, they get to take on Chicago.
What were you
next
laughing
week
at, Jay?
I was laughing at the fact that Joe Mixon had 29 carries, 127 yards, and a touchdown, and Christian McCaffrey beat him without scoring a touchdown. It's just like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. But, man, Mixon's going to get the rock a ton unless he breaks down.
Yeah, it was really a little bit surprising, but the majority of the game, the Bengals were winning.
Yeah.
So the pass versus run is something to stay tuned to. We expected this to be a very pass-happy team based on what we've seen the last couple of years with Zach Taylor, but that's also because they've usually been losing. So who knows? If they're good, Joe Mixon could be awesome.
Nick Chubb did his thing on 15 carries, 2 touchdowns. Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift, both players ended up with impressive fantasy games. Jamal Williams actually had fewer carries than DeAndre Swift, but had a touchdown. 9 targets, 8 for 56. DeAndre Swift, 11 targets, 8 for 65. When you combine that with Hawkinson's targets, all the targets went to the running backs and to the tight end position. Tyrell got hurt. You know, Tyrell concussed. I mean, he gets hurt every year. I mean, this is the third consecutive year for Tyrell Williams where he is hurt on, like, week one. So, not surprising there, but
even then, he didn't leave until the third quarter, and DeAndre Swift looked great. He is no longer on the groinindex.com. He should be fine. So this was interesting, and both backs over 100 yards and a touchdown. It'll be interesting to see if you have confidence to play Jamal Williams going forward. Certainly, you have confidence fully in DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I feel like Williams is going to be more of a desperation flex, bye week fill, where Swift. Look, Anthony Lynn likes throwing the ball to his running backs. He's gone from Los Angeles and the Chargers now. Austin Eckler had no targets in this game.
Yeah. That's,
and here's DeAndre Swift out-targeted Christian McCaffrey.
That's
so
true.
So, I mean, you're talking about he was probably the number one most targeted running back in week one. I don't have that number right in front of me, but I
– Has to be.
Can't, I mean, 11.
And I mean, that's a –
And their defense is going to struggle every week.
It was a large product of the game script of San Francisco was up, what 20-something points?
It's going to be every
week.
No,
I know that by the if all you saw was the box score and that Detroit closed that gap, they were down massively. But they're going to play against Green Bay, Baltimore the next 2 weeks. I think Jamal Williams is I would say slightly better than desperation flex. I think he's an okay flex.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Melvin Gordon, 11 for 101 and one monster touchdown run. Javonte Williams had 14 rushes.
He had more carries than Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, but I don't actually. I mean, I watched the game, and this game was out of hand. So they gave the last drive or two drives to Javonte Williams when the game had nothing left. So I would look at it as a wash. I think they're going to mix both guys in equally.
I think that's where it's a positive for Javonte Williams. Melvin Gordon saved the entire game with, what was it, like a 70-something yard touchdown run? So that means before that carry, he was 10 for 30. He just, when you were watching, not the breakaway run, and I'm not going to take that away from Melvin Gordon. He did it. He came through in a big way for fantasy. Javonte Williams looked much better. He had far more juice than Melvin Gordon. And
I don't agree.
I turned to Mike about halfway through that game, and every time Javonte touched, I said, man, he looks like he's got a lot more juice than Melvin Gordon. Now, obviously, Melvin Gordon had that 75-yard run, which was great, but I do think that, like, Melvin Gordon's fine. The matchups coming up are awesome. Jacksonville and the Jets. You're going to get off to this great start with Melvin Gordon. That's fine. But when I looked at these two players, I did think by the end of the season, it will the changeover will be made. So he is another guy that I would be willing to kick the tires on looking to trade high because he's got a huge name. He had 100 yards and a touchdown, a monster fantasy game. You might be able to find someone in your league to actually trade up at running back.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Who wants to get Melvin Gordon because...
I would do the same thing you guys would do with the backfield. My point was just, juice to me in that game just meant speed. And Javonte's faster, like, to the edge. But Melvin Gordon broke tackles in a way that Javonte kept getting caught in the backfield, and I felt like Gordon broke tackles better than Javonte did. I would 100% trade Melvin Gordon after a 71-yard touchdown run. No question about it, although the next 3 weeks are going to be very attractive, so maybe I'd wait.
You make a high trade offer now. Go shoot your shot on what you think you might be able to get. If you get
it turned down.
If you get it turned down, whatever. Move on. Wait a week. Have a good performance against Jacksonville. Offer the same thing.
And my point where I was going was, if this is the split already in week one for Javonte Williams, that this was the type of situation where you're hoping by the halfway point of the season that Javonte takes over being the primary guy. Melvin Gordon's not going away. But if this is where we are starting, we could get to that point sooner than later for Williams.
Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, honorable mentions here in the studs.
Yep.
David Montgomery was outstanding.
Yes, he was.
Standing.
16 for 108. The Rams gave up 0 100-yard rushing games last year. Montgomery goes out and does it in a negative game script against a Rams team, and he was outstanding.
You want to talk about juice? That guy looked
fantastic.
We talked about it. There were a small handful of running backs that when you watched, they were difference makers, and David Montgomery was one of them. It's going to be.
He's a great running back.
Yeah.
Some people moved him. The pendulum swung too far with the narrative of, like, easy schedule at the end of the year. Like, it's not easy with an easy schedule to put that many top 10 weeks together, especially when you have just trash quarterback play and an offense that's not around the goal line a lot.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to trade for him. If you could, I would do it, certainly. But if you drafted him, you're going to be happy this season.
Now, so then you're not going to have any concern. So David Montgomery had 17 opportunities. Damian Williams had 11 opportunities.
That makes me happy, not sad.
Really?
Yeah, and Montgomery went to the locker room with a dislocated finger and missed a couple drives.
The fact that one of the big fears coming into this season was David Montgomery was without Tariq Cohen because of the injury last year and was left as like the last man there, and now they brought in Damian Williams, and you go, is he going to be able to get enough volume? And we saw with Damian Williams there that Montgomery is the center of the offense. And so that's why I'm saying I see it as a good thing.
Cincinnati, okay. Cleveland, Detroit for the next 3 weeks. You may have two positive game scripts for Montgomery coming up. Wide receiver studs for week one. Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, we saw them on Thursday. Tyreek Hill had a mediocre 15 targets, 11 for 157 and 1.
He's unstoppable.
Now, Mike's groaning and head shaking and kind of curmudgeon-y face is no reflection on the individual of Tyreek Hill, but more on the fact that he thought he had his matchup put away. And then suddenly Tyreek Hill
11 for 200 yards.
Flew in with his cape. Yeah, I mean, that's Tyreek, man. Ho-hum, 197 yards,
so
always open.
Upsetting.
Debo.
12 targets. Yeah, targeted on 48% of his routes. We've been talking about this metric recently of percentage of targets on routes that you ran being a very sticky indicator of success. That's why we called the Antonio Brown shot, and that is a super high number from week one.
And, yeah, let's just enter this into evidence to build the case for Debo Samuel being a very valuable, important part of the team that Kyle Shanahan loves, trusts, and wants to be healthy so that they can win ball games.
And I do still fully think Ayuk is going to get involved. I mean, he's still recovering from the hamstring injury. He's coming back soon, and I still believe overtake Trent Sherfield and give him a real good wide receiver one, wide receiver two punch. Are we worried about George Kittle at all?
No.
Okay.
No. Good. I'm not, because of what tight ends represent. And you know, he had one play that he was really close to breaking for a long touchdown. He's going to get the – he'll have the big touchdown in one of these weeks coming up, and I'm not concerned.
Okay. Only five targets, so I was like
– Yeah, I thought he looked good, but this was also a game, like you brought up. I mean, they ran the ball like crazy. Elijah Mitchell, we'll talk about him more tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, when they're down, you're going to see more Kittle. We've got three starts of the week here. Antonio Brown, 7 targets, 5 for 121 and 1. Tyler Lockett, 4 for 102. And Adam Thielen, 10 targets, 9 for 92 and 2. I tried to trade for Thielen in every league possible for the week leading up to the season. Ever since Irv Smith went down, I was ready for action with Adam Thielen, and he was delightful.
Now, it was of note, not that it stopped Adam Thielen. He saw 10 targets, but was an interesting note for the Minnesota Vikings, where their, you know, their base offense has been 2 wide receivers on the field. Their base offense was 11 personnel this week, so there was a third wide receiver on the field out there. It'll be interesting to track if that negatively impacts the target share for Jefferson and Thielen moving forward.
Based on what we saw from the offensive line struggles against the Bengals D-line, I'm going to say they need to move back to some more 12 personnel, get an extra tight end in there and block.
Do you know who's smiling right now with the way that offensive line performed?
Chandler Jones.
Arizona at home. Chandler Jones coming off a 5-sack week.
Is it possible for him to hit double-digit sacks by week 2?
How incredible would that be? I mean, yeah, that's going to be a problem. I'm going to take the Cardinals in that one.
Okay.
Corey Davis, 5 for 97 and 2 touchdowns.
The Jets sucked.
They looked really bad on offense, and yet Corey Davis had a game.
But this is
which
one of
tells
those,
you something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how to feel, because you can have the two different arguments, right? They were bad and Corey Davis was still good. He's the clear number one here. But also, they were really bad, and there were a lot of fears even for Corey Davis as the game went on. And then it worked out. Then he got the 2 touchdowns. Great. But I am pessimistic on the outlook of the Jets offense. From what, you know, this was the first chance to see Zach Wilson, not in preseason, not playing against, you know, some backups, and it wasn't good.
And it was Carolina.
Exactly, and it was Carolina.
But rookies get better. You know, it's that's the one thing, is rookies can improve over the years. So there's a chance that the offense, he gets more comfortable, he takes more shots downfield. I got so sick of watching him swing the ball to the left for -1 yards in this game. It was gross. It reminded me of Adam, like they had notes from Adam Gaves still up on the chalkboard, and they accidentally paid attention to those instead of Robert Saleh. Hopkins and Kirk were great for Arizona, 2 touchdowns each. We'll talk about Christian Kirk more tomorrow, I think. We got Sterling Shepard, 7 for 113 and a touchdown.
Yeah, that was
He was the best wideout in camp. He does trick us year to year.
He does.
And Galladay was coming off an injury, so I'm not sure I would do too much there.
Okay.
Cooper Kupp, big game.
Oh, Jamar Chase, for sure.
Jamar Chase.
Good for you, Jamar. You put the crow in my mouth. You looked great.
You crammed it in your mouth.
You had 7 targets, 5 receptions, 101
yards,
and a
touchdown. It was still squawking as it went in.
Yeah, I mean,
and just like DeVonta Smith was the man, Jamar Chase was
the man.
He was the number one wide receiver for this team.
I think Higgins had 4 targets.
I can vet it, but
four,
I'm saying
four
like
catches,
like
no,
snap
I think,
count. Jamar was the guy.
Yeah,
I think Higgins, I want to say, had 5 catches, but yeah, you can vet that.
Higgins was 5 targets, 4 for 58, and a score.
Yeah, I mean,
and Tyler Boyd was kind of in the periphery.
Tyler Boyd, yeah, was definitely the third. The 50-yard touchdown really obviously is what set him over the top. That's why they drafted him, for the big playability. You hope to continue to see that. Obviously, he only had, you know, 4 for 50 outside of that. I think he is legit and will be great. I still, I still believe T. Higgins. Like, if I would put the rest, well, we already have bets, right, on T. Higgins versus Ja'Marr Chase. But the good news is it doesn't matter if you're wrong if both are good.
Sure. I'm just saying that the snaps were in Ja'Marr's favor. The routes were in Ja'Marr's favor. The production was in Ja'Marr's favor.
Target
it's,
share.
It's hard to not get excited.
Zach Pascal, 4 for 80 and 2.
Pascal.
I mean.
You rapscallion.
I kept saying this weekend, Zach Pascal is the Tim Patrick of the Colts, and Tim Patrick is the Zach Pascal of the Broncos.
And they both.
They are both solid receivers. And Pascal did this last year. I mean, he did this last year with Hilton going down. It was Pascal that caught the touchdown passes, 80 yards. Mm-hmm. He is a pickup to
For
me.
For sure. I mean, you if you draft, like I drafted in
but
a couple
But as soon as you
spots,
put him in your lineup.
Right. It'll be tough. But by comparison, Russell Gage looked like someone who was had an opportunity to be solid, have a lot of yards, big involvement in the offense. He goosed. He is the type of player where if you had a Russell Gage on your team, replace him with a Tim Patrick or Zach Pascal.
Mike Williams and Keenan Allen had 12 targets for Mike Williams, 13 for Keenan Allen. Huge game for Mike Williams.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, you just kind of hold your breath a little bit. He had a couple plays he went down. I thought he was hurt again. I mean, Mike Williams, put him in your lineup. Don't watch him play.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then it's too scary. Gronkowski, Kelsey, Hockenson.
Oh, baby.
10 targets, 8 for 97 for Hockenson.
10 targets.
So that means you had 8 for Williams, 11 for Swift, and 8 for Hockenson, which was, that was more targets for those three than Winston had pass attempts at all.
Yeah, he had a league-leading 53 routes run at the tight end position. Second place was 40. Hockenson is their passing game. Obviously, Swift is there too, but he is going to be reliable and a huge breakout.
Any concern that Hockenson's hair is going to get in the way for the rest of the year?
No, I think it's giving him power.
Okay. All right. Important. What was that again?
It's power.
Power. Let's move on.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
Oh, it's back, baby, by popular demand.
Oh,
very nice.
Well done.
All right.
Popular demand? Goodness.
All right. Let me remind you, what are you giving me? You grading me here?
I'm grading that one.
That's a nine?
I got a
nine. That's a nine. I was a big fan of that poop joke.
Well, you'll be more of a fan of that joke in the drop than you will be some of the players we talk about. But a reminder, it's week one. 5.88% of the season completed. Last year, Antonio Gibson had a huge pooper in week one. Keenan Allen stunk in week one. Tyler Higbee, bad week one. And, Higbee bounced back for 3 touchdowns in week two. And Keenan and Gibson, you know how their seasons went. So deep breaths. But Rodgers' career's over, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, his career is over. It's done. 15 for 28, no touchdowns.
The two most shocking games of the week to me, Arizona versus Tennessee.
None of us thought that could happen.
That it was the defensive line of Arizona was so dominant that Tennessee was really shut down. And then the Drew Breesless Saints completely changed how they play football. They went to a ground and pound defensive team, and we're just going to have Jameis Winston not lose the game for us. And they crushed Green Bay, crushed them. Jordan Love played almost the entire fourth quarter because the Packers had already waved the white flag by then.
Look, Rodgers went to the doctor this morning, and he wrote him a script for the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. Take one next Sunday.
Who gets to place Aaron Rodgers as their start of the week next week first?
Paper, rock, scissors.
Yeah.
He'll bounce back. It's Aaron Rodgers. He was embarrassed. The press conference was a bunch of embarrassed people. That being said, it's almost like you needed to be around at camp. It's almost like, you can't help.
He was there for camp?
You can't. Who?
He was there for preseason.
Yeah. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers?
Preseason. He was there.
Yeah. If you remember, Aaron Rodgers went through the offseason of absolute
the stuff he skipped.
Embarrassment.
Also, why does he look so ugly now.
What?
His current look. Look, Aaron Rodgers, sometimes he's
you don't like the long hair.
Oh, his
it's good for Hawkinson, but it's not good for Rodgers.
Correct. One of them, I mean.
I think someone's jealous.
Aaron Rodgers has had a lot of different looks. Like,
yeah.
A lot of different. And sometimes he's got a super handsome look. He is. I'm just saying. Right now, Rodgers, this look is, oh, man, it is bad.
You don't think some of that no touchdown game wiped off on your view there? Of what you don't think you would have looked beautiful with five touchdowns?
I don't think he could look beautiful with this current
Oh, my gosh.
Hair hater.
Yeah.
Well, look, I get it. Aaron Rodgers, man, passer rating was 32, but I'm not freaking out.
And Pro Football Focus put out this funny tweet. The passer rating, if thrown into the dirt, every play would be 39.
Wait, that means he threw into other people's arms instead of the dirt.
That's right.
Wow, yeah, he had a couple ugly throws. Matt Ryan had a huge stinker of a week. Disappointing. That offense looked it missed Julio Jones.
Like, I'm not concerned about Rodgers. I'm concerned here about Matt Ryan. I'm trying to.
That means you're concerned about Calvin Ridley.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to pump the brakes here, but like so far. You know, it's Arthur Smith is here in town in Atlanta.
Arthur.
And he's got a plan, and that plan was apparently destroy all of Matt Ryan's production.
To ruin both the Falcons and the Titans.
I'll throw this out there,
it's really selfish.
You know, every year defense is – there's a turnover. There's teams that – like the Cardinals, the defensive line. And we don't know if the Eagles are much better than we thought they were on defense. You can throw that out there. Now, a prescription – for a remedy there is not Tampa Bay and Tampa.
No.
So I would be, yeah,
I'm concerned.
We're going to be on this show next week talking about, are you scared for Calvin Ridley? That's the likelihood with the Tampa matchup. Running back duds, Zeke, Henry, Saquon. You know, Saquon has Washington's defensive line next week on Thursday. Not great.
No.
So that's going to be a tough start-sit decision for people. Aaron Jones. So there's four studs. Who are you most concerned about?
I'm most concerned about Saquon because you knew he was going to be eased in. He only got 10 carries, and it's going to take him probably a month before he's looking like we want Saquon to look. So that means the next couple weeks you're not going to be starting him. Derrick Henry, the defensive line of the Arizona Cardinals, you know, the hopes of getting Chandler Jones back, adding J.J. Watt, that looked insanely good. Zeke, we talked about it with Tampa Bay's D-line. That was a bad matchup. Aaron Jones, not worried at all. New Orleans, another great run defense, gets the Detroit Lions. But Saquon, I think the next couple weeks is an issue. And, you know, I've got him in our listener league, and I will hopefully be able to bench him this coming week.
Here's a player I'm not worried about at all that had a dud of a week. A lot of people, big expectations. Najee Harris, 16 for 45. He had some plays that I thought he looked like a rookie, trying to do too much, right?
Sure.
The offense had not a great game against Buffalo. They had a special teams play and like one good offensive drive, and otherwise it was kind of nasty.
And the Steelers defense is just as dominant.
Yeah.
As they were last year. But to add to your point, Andy, running back snaps for Najee Harris, 58.
As a rookie, first game.
Running back snaps for Benny Snell, 0.
How about Kalen Ballage?
Also 0.
The two guys that
do not panic on Najee.
The two guys that I want to ring the bell to not panic on are Najee and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Okay.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was very disappointing. He got double-digit fantasy points, but barely, and, you know, was not anything special. But there are only a few opportunities in the league where you are the every down guy. And that's what we saw. 90% of the backfields, 100% of the running back targets. He was there on third downs. I think there was only one rushing attempt for another player. Like, this was all Najee, all Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I want to remind you guys, like, Kansas City, when Kareem Hunt had his incredible breakout year and was just dominant, was the running back four, he had so many weeks back then where it was like Andy Reid after the game would be like, oh, we should use that guy more or whatever, you know, where you've got, I'm looking at his box score from that year and all the time, 11 carries for 17 yards, 9 receiving yards. I mean, just complete duds. I'm not worried about either of these two guys because Najee is unbelievably talented and I think he'll break plays. And with Clyde, he's on the best offense. And that means opportunities should be there.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Clyde different in the offseason. I still view, I mean, to me, this is, you don't need Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which is the problem. You score 33 points as an offense. He plays every snap as the running back. How many times did that happen last year they didn't need him? And he doesn't have breakaway speed, big playability. We see this one differently, Mike. Maybe you can weigh in and kind of how you saw this performance from Clyde, Baltimore, Chargers, Philly the next 3 weeks.
I think that's the hopeful ceiling for Clyde is probably not there, but I'm on Jason's side of there are not many running backs that see that type of an opportunity in as far as a market share in a high powered offense. But it did not bounce his way. You add a single touchdown into this, you know, 14 for 43, 3 for 29 and a touchdown, and you're like, okay, that's not terrible.
Yeah, that was the problem last year, though.
Yeah, it was.
James Robinson was awful.
This one's a real problem.
A red alert for me.
35% of his team's running back rushes. His lowest of all of last year was 85%. That's from J.J. Zacharyson, friend of the show.
Mike, do you have room for the Urban Meyer hate train?
Oh, you know I do, brother.
Because I was skeptical of your hatred pre the first NFL game, and I am riding shotgun, man. Open that door up. I'm hopping in.
If you want to find a silver lining, I mean, this team is getting blown out by the Texans, which is not the silver
Texans,
lining.
The Texans!
But the game...
They blew them out!
The game script was not in the favor of James Robinson, but Carlos Hyde is a pickup. So,
yes!
Wide receivers that pooped their pants this week. None bigger than Ayuk's situation. We talked about that one. Kyle Shanahan said Trent Sherfield impressed.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We talked all about what to do there.
Yep. Monitor it.
Davante Adams, not worried. Mike Evans, he does this every year. Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about Mike Evans. He had probably five of these games last year. Allen Robinson.
What the heck, man?
You don't really want to look at the routes that Robinson ran in this game because they were all under 10 yards.
Man, Nagy saw the Hopkins route tree from last year. He's like, oh, that's a recipe for success.
I think this is game specific. I think this was 100%. We have to get the ball out of Andy Dalton's hands so fast. I mean, you didn't have any deep shots to Darnell Mooney. You had nothing beyond 10 yards to Allen Robinson. This was the Aaron Donald may not have had five sacks in the game. He got it in their heads before the week began.
I agree. I think that this is game specific, and I'm not going to overreact on Allen Robinson yet. It was bad to see, and it certainly could be this is the Andy Dalton effect, but I'm not viewing it this way.
Julio Jones, 6 targets, 3 for 29. Honestly, the Titans got nothing going in this game whatsoever. Seattle next week for Julio.
Yeah, didn't Derrick Henry have 9 rushing yards entering the second half?
That is correct. Yeah, this game was nothing. Nothing went the Titans' way that would have let you see what they want to do on offense. So I'm going to – my policy on Julio, I'm going to wait a week. I'm going to I'll put him out there against Seattle. Give me one more week of watching this team because Mike Vrabel's a good coach. You heard him come out, and he said something that I know you two have never said, which was he said Cliff Kingsbury out-coached him. He said they were out-prepared. You know,
he winking?
No, nope, they more prepared. Mm. And that they're going to
talk about falling on your sword. Jeez.
Yeah.
Just say it was your fault. You don't have to. I mean, come on, Vrabel.
I mean, it's funny because it's rare that we would go out on a limb and be like, I'm giving them no chance. I finally got on board with bashing Cliff Kingsbury with you guys. And he goes out, and you have to give them credit because on the road against Vrabel, dismantling them on both sides of the ball, this was genuinely. This was the best game that the Cardinals have ever played under Cliff Kingsbury all three phases of the game.
Outside of the first 5 minutes with 22 penalties. But I view a little bit differently on Julio Jones. I completely agree. Titans, in general, you got to throw this one out. I think they're going to fix some of the problems. But I was a little bit worried. Hard to tell in this, and I want to go back and rewatch it, but he didn't look like Julio to me. There was a play on the sideline where, you know, he looked a little different. Maybe
old.
It was the, he looked a little old, and I don't want to say that because I don't want to set panic alarms, but I'm certainly going to be watching this
next
week.
Let me give you a trade. Okay. Would you trade Robbie Anderson for Julio Jones? Because I would definitely do that.
Yes, I would.
I would do that.
All right. So not that worried.
I'm worried, and I'm going to be monitoring it. And I don't think I would just – he's not an auto start to me because of his name next week.
Marquez Callaway was a bench, and you should have benched him. One catch, Jair Alexander.
Was the lone bright spot for the Packers.
Yeah, and then Kenny Golladay, 4-for-64. This is not a pooped in his pants to me. First game for the new team.
It's just a little like a skid mark.
No, it's just he's just wearing pants. They're clean.
Clean pants?
And yeah. he looked good out there.
Yeah, he looked fine.
He did not win anybody a week.
An egregious inclusion by our producer.
He didn't win anybody
How
a week.
How dare you?
But it was a okay performance.
I just kept hearing that saxophone, the bad sax drop that we have, yeah, and I couldn't help it.
You talking about this?
Kenny G. Ladies and gentlemen.
Now I take back my anger, Brooksy. You know, Brooksy's got a different pair of headphones on today, and it's throwing me off. He's wearing these, like, silver. Is that what you normally wear?
No, I'm on a different mic.
He looks like he's from outer space.
You're looking good, Brooks.
Well, thank you.
Just don't grow your hair out long, or Jason will think you're super ugly.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
What if I could?
Get bodied.
Don't gotta worry about that.
Oh, my goodness. Tight end duds in week one. Robert Tonyan on the other side of the Aaron Rodgers pooper. I would just wait a week.
Yep.
See what happens in Detroit. Mike Gesicki was a bit of a surprise just because Tua had leaned on tight ends a lot, and you saw more Devontae Parker. Yeah. Gesicki.
Yes.
Boy. And then Kyle Pitts, 8 targets, which was tied with Calvin Ridley. 71% of snaps, ran around on 90% of the dropbacks.
But only 4 receptions, tied with Hayden Hurst for 31 yards.
Yeah.
So I'm just...
The peripherals are good.
Yeah, I would just wait the same way I'm going to wait with Calvin Ridley and see what happens next week.
Are you playing? Like, let's be realistic.
Yes,
you've got Kyle
100%.
Pitts. So you're starting him next week against Tampa Bay.
No question.
Who are you going to pick up and play over?
I don't want to talk about that yet. That's a teaser for tomorrow.
Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin did work against Tampa Bay in week one. I'm not going to bench the guy I probably spent a 5th or 6th round pick on.
Okay.
But I'm sure you were, you were comforting yourself with that performance.
Yeah, I mean, I saw both sides of it. The 8 targets is really promising. His utilization was good, but I echo Mike's thoughts on Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons offense in the sense that
it was gross.
They were at home against the Eagles, and while the Eagles could definitely be better than we expected them to be prior to the start of the season, I don't think they are some world-class dominant defense all of a sudden with the personnel they have. So,
Arthur.
Yeah.
Better figure it out.
Yeah, he better.
What a week one. We still got another game tonight. So we get to see the Raiders and the Ravens. I think the Raiders are going to win.
Oh, you stop
what?
It.
I think the you Raiders stop. Are going to win the game. I do.
I do not.
I recognize the fact that that is contrarian of me to say. I think the line surprised me when the week began.
Push a button.
Button do you want me to push?
I want another almost upset of the week. I mean, this is...
No, but he's calling for them to win.
Well, then it's... Well, that still counts. That still counts.
Just push like the laughter button if we had one of those. I don't know why.
You sound like David Carr over there.
Look, I saw that Super Bowl Derek. David Carr picking his brother to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, every year.
Great analysis.
Every year, this is the year.
That was like listening to new hair plugs, Drew Brees talk about how good the Saints played on defense, right. Like when they were talking about.
To be fair, the Saints
looked
great.
I mean, they did look great. All right. We want to thank PristineAuction.com. Travis Kelce signed Lunar Eclipse Speed Helmet. $65. Ends on Tuesday night. There's a Debo. Get it while he's healthy. Signed 49ers Eclipse Helmet. $50. Ends on Tuesday night. Look, use the code BALLERS at PristineAuction.com. You'll save $10 on some sweet sports memorabilia. They just did Pristine Week where they give like free credit to everybody who has an account. So at a minimum, go sign up an account because you might get like free money at random times.
And you never know.
Use the code BALLERS and you'll get free money right away at PristineAuction.com. All right. Waivers on tomorrow's show, including some streamer picks. Do not miss it. JoinTheFoot.com is the fantasy football community. And Why would I say that out loud about the Raiders? There's just nothing. Very little to gain.
I was trying to help you.
I'm sorry. They're going to win, though.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.